Hi, everyone in the U.S., in Palestine, in Israel, other places in the world. This is the latest installment of Conversations with Israel and Palestine, which is a series of informational webinars that brings voices from Israel and Palestine to an American and international audience, and it provides an important link between progressives in the Middle East and those in the U.S. and around the world. My name is Ron Skolnick. I organize these webinars on behalf of Partners for Progressive Israel. Before I hand it over to the panel today, I'll note that Partners for Progressive Israel is a not-for-profit American organization dedicated to achieving a durable and just peace between Israel and its neighbors. That includes an end to Israel's military occupation based on a two-state solution. Partners supports Israelis working to ensure social justice, civil rights, Jewish-Arab partnership, and equality for all of Israel's inhabitants. And the organization seeks to deepen Americans' understanding of Israel's and Palestine's complexities so that they can better advocate for a progressive future for all inhabitants of the region. This is a free webinar, as you all know, but if you enjoy it and want to help create more programming like this, donations are always welcome, and you can do that at progressiveisrael.org. A quick note about upcoming programming before we get started. On Tuesday, October 11th, Partners for Progressive Israel will be hosting a discussion with the newly elected chair of the Meretz Party in Israel, Zahava Gamon, ahead of the November 1 elections, and she'll be interviewed by Partners Vice President Gil Getz. Registration will be starting tomorrow. And second and not least, Partners for Progressive Israel will be holding its annual Israel-Palestine Symposium. That's going to be over 7 Sundays from October 23 through December 18. Once again, this year, the symposium will be online, and this year's program is called The Struggle for Human Rights from Declaration to Occupation. And you can find details at progressiveisrael.org, and a direct link will also appear in the chat. Just a word about the chat and the Q&A. All questions, please, I encourage people to send all questions via the Q&A. That's the only place that's going to be properly monitored for questions. Chat will be open for audience members to chat with each other, but that is not the place to place your questions, only in the Q&A. Okay, having said all that, let me introduce our panel in brief, and I'll put a link to where you can get the panelists' full bio. I'll put that in the chat. First, Auni El-Mashni is a writer, analyst, and political activist based in Bethlehem. He is co-founder of A Land for All, Two States, One Homeland, as well as a Palestinian spokesperson and content director. Auni is a refugee from the village of Al-Kabu. He spent over 10 years in Israeli prisons and has held senior positions in the Fatah movement. He holds a master's degree in regional studies and Israel studies. Meron Rappaport is a journalist, translator, and political activist based in Tel Aviv. He is also a founder of A Land for All, Two States, One Homeland, as well as its Israeli spokesperson and content director. Over the past several years, Meron has been working as a writer and editor at 972, an independent news website, as well as its sister site, Sicha Mikumit, Local Call, as well as contributing to international media outlets, including Middle East Eye. Dr. Hiba Husseini co-headed the team working on the Holy Land Confederation Initiative. Hiba is managing partner at Husseini and Husseini Law Firm in Ramallah. She chairs the legal committee for the Israeli-Palestinian final status negotiations and has served as legal advisor to the peace process negotiations since 1994. She's a member of a number of working groups on the peace process, especially those on trade and economic relations and the status of Jerusalem. She has lectured in Palestine and abroad and has written widely on the peace process. Hiba has earned her JD from Georgetown University and an MA in political science from George Washington University. Last but not least, Dr. Yossi Beilin is also the co-head of the Holy Land Confederation. He also heads the steering committee of the Geneva Initiative, and he is the president of the business consultancy in Tel Aviv, Beilink. Dr. Beilin initiated the Oslo process in 1992, the Beilin-Abu Mazen Agreement in 1993 to 1995, and the Geneva Initiative, which started in 2001. And within the Jewish world, Dr. Beilin initiated the Taglit Birthright Project. Dr. Bailyn is a former Israeli justice minister. He served as deputy minister and minister in four Israeli governments and was a member of Knesset for 20 years for both the Labor Party and the Meretz Party. And he headed the Meretz Party between 2004 and 2008. With all that being said, I'm now going to hand it over to Meron Rappaport, who's both a panelist and also going to serve as our moderator today. I'll join you at the end for just a brief wrap up. Thank you all. Thanks to our panelists for coming, and I hope you enjoy the webinar.
Hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Meron Rappaport. I'm talking to you from Tel Aviv. Now it's evening here, so good afternoon for you. I will be in two kind of a position. I'll be moderator and also a member of the Land for All. So I will try to be impartial, but I'm sure I will not succeed in that mission. Anyhow, what I wanted to say, first of all, we are now facing a very, very difficult time. I think is one of the difficult, most difficult times we are facing for the last years. Violence is going up. Every day there are killings, and the prospect of peace is seen further away than in any time. And the situation, of course, and settlements are going on, and the situation on the ground seems to many people hopeless. At the same time, I think, first of all, this is not for us to give up. We cannot give up. We are Israelis and Palestinian. We are sure that there is a way out of this, a way out that is based on equality, equal rights, equal personal and equal national rights for all. Now, this panel is joining two groups. Our group, and I said, Land for All, Two States, One Homeland, where me and Auni are one are the founders, among others, and Holy Land Confederation, led here by Hiba Husseini and Yossi Bailyn. There are significant differences between the two initiatives. Some of them are minor, some of them are more important. But I think what is important, and this is why we come together here, what is more important is that we, first of all, we know that we cannot accept the status quo. And second, we think that in order to keep the two-state solution alive, it should be looked from another point of view. And our point of view, and in this we are together, we are saying two states, but with more or less open border, two states that live together, not on based on separation, but based on sharing. This is a new field, I think, that is opening up, facing the crisis of the classical two-state solution, where so many people do not believe, even if they want this solution, they don't believe it could be implemented. So we want to go out of this crisis and bring to out what we think is a practical and achievable solution. Now, what the discussion will let, I will, we will explain, I will explain very shortly about two states on homeland, then I will pass the word to Hiba Husseini, then to Yossi Bailyn, and then to Arnie Elmashni. We will have a discussion for about 45 minutes, then I will open, we will open it to question from you, and we will be happy to hear your question. Two states, one homeland, Land for All, is based on very simple idea. There are two people in this land between the river and the sea. both people, Jews and Palestinians, see the whole of this land as their homeland between the river and the sea. Jaffa, as well as Haifa, Ramallah, as well as Jenin, they see this whole land as their homeland. Now, those two people need to live with equal rights and equal national rights and equal personal rights for all. So therefore, what we suggest in a nutshell is two independent states, open border and freedom of movement, including for Israelis to live in the West Bank and Palestinians, including refugees, to live in Israel. A shared institution, confederation, a superstructure above the two states that will cooperate in many fields, from justice to security to economy and other issues. Jerusalem as an open city, capital of both states, and amending past injustices without creating new one. We will go further into the discussion and also put light on the differences between our two initiatives. But right now, I would like, first of all, I will ask Hiba Husseini to start and explain what are the basic idea of the Holy Land Confederation, and what made her join and be part of this initiative. Please, Hiba.
Thank you very much, Meron. Thank you, Ron. It's a pleasure to be with all of you. I'm very pleased that we have such a large audience this evening, which solidifies my belief in really finding a solvable way out to this conflict. First, this conflict, in my opinion, as a Palestinian who has who was born and lived in Jerusalem, was educated abroad, and has returned mainly to work on the peace process and to find ways and means to resolving this conflict, I certainly believe that this conflict is resolvable. So I continue my commitment personally and professionally. That's number one. Number two, I think for me as a Palestinian in East Jerusalem, the occupation and continued state of occupation does not serve either the Palestinians in Jerusalem, in the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip, as and also in the diaspora, all the refugees abroad in these host countries that have suffered significantly over the years. Number three, I have been involved in a lot of initiatives, first track, second track, and I have intimate knowledge and understanding that this conflict can be solved, and it is very possible to solve it. So I was very thrilled when Dr. Yossi Beilin invited me to join him in this effort, the Holy Land Confederation, because I thought it was a very creative idea, very feasible to bring peace to this region, to our conflict, direct conflict, Israel-Palestine, and to really achieve the freedoms, the dignity, the aspirations that I, as a Palestinian, have aspired for all of my life and will continue to do so with. I mean, I've heard the stories from my parents, my grandparents, and now my siblings, children, everyone involved, that be it internal in Palestine, outside Palestine, Arab Israelis, Palestinian Israelis. I think to continue to live in conflict cannot deliver the quality of life and the justice that we all aspire for. So that's in a nutshell why I have become involved. In terms of, also I was very thrilled with the opportunity to learn that our colleagues, Meron, Auni, and others involved in the Land for All, share our vision for a two-state solution based on sharing of some sorts, based on an open old city, holy sites accessible, ending the plight of the refugees, defining some borders that would enable trade, economy, prosperity, and so forth and so on. I think the difficulty in the issue that we face on the ground is, of course, the status of Jerusalem, especially the holy sites, the settlements, and the so-called natural expansion of the settlements encroaching into the West Bank cities, territories of Area C especially, and of course, encroaching increasingly on East Jerusalem neighborhoods. The protracted and the longevity of the conflict has created a status quo that has been eroding, that is dynamic and ever-changing, and that does not deliver peace to our region, nor does it deliver the territorial compromises, the political compromises, and the moralities, of course, associated with the conflict and with the occupation and its longevity. So what we have devised in this proposal, the Holy Land Confederation, that is a mechanism, or if you will, an umbrella to facilitate the two-state solution. You will have a Palestinian, we will have a Palestinian sovereign state that had negotiated an agreement with Israel. Then we will have a period of implementation. We will assign a term for the implementation. There will be a treatment to the settlers living in Area C, especially in Area C, and their residency status, be it in the state of Palestine as residents or an option to return to the state of Israel. My colleague, Dr. Yossi Beren, will explain that further. We propose that there will be a trade regime that would be gradually opening the borders over a period of time as confidence starts and trust to gain momentum between the two sides. There will be joint institution to oversee the implementation of this confederation. And of course, there will be an entry into the confederation, an entry plan into the confederation, and an exit plan from the confederation should we opt out. Along that, there will be, you know, a lot of details related to the legalities involved, to the, as I said, the trade regime involved, institutional development, security aspects, and so forth. So in a nutshell, what we are proposing is that there is a way out of this conflict. There is a potential for developing a strategic outlook for the Israel-Palestine conflict. And what we are saying at this time, especially in this period of time with regional context of the Abraham Accords, with the great larger regional issues related to the Russia-Ukraine war, is that this conflict has a potential and a real potential with this proposal. And we share this with our colleagues at the Land for All. I guess I will end on this note because thank you, Mehra.
Yossi, as was mentioned, of course, you were one of the architects of the Oslo agreements, and then one of the architects of the Geneva Accord. What led you to move to this confederation idea? What was lacking, and what the confederation idea adds to what was maybe missing, according to how you see it? You are on mute.
First, there was the problem of a partner. I mean, 4 years. Those who believe that we should partition the land, and it is not all of us, but it's most of the Israelis, even if it is not a huge majority, support the idea of partition and want to have peace with the Palestinians or with others in order to end the occupation. Now, this group tried to find a partner. For years, it did not take the PLO as a partner because it was involved with terrorism. And as a result, there were other efforts which were which were actually futile. I mean, the big thing in Oslo was my decision to change the situation without waiting for others and to talk to the PLO. This was the whole thing. It's not the solutions of Oslo, because this, Oslo doesn't have a solutions for the permanent agreement. It does have solutions for an interim agreement, which was debated in Washington between Israel and Palestinians and Jordanians together, and was also, it went nowhere. So Oslo is the recognition between the two national movements, Zionism and the PLO. Each of them was not ready, had not been ready to talk to the other for years, and said the whole land belongs to me. And the Oslo agreement signed on September 13, 1993 said, okay, we recognize each other, which was of course criticized on both sides very much, and eventually brought even to the assassination of our Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Then there was a question of, okay, we are in an interim process. The internal opposition to our efforts exceeded our worst dreams almost from the beginning. And many people raised question marks about whether it is the right thing to have peace with the Palestinians. And the feeling was that it's difficult, but also maybe impossible to find solutions for the main issues, namely Jerusalem and the refugees. These are considered, have been considered all the last generation as the main issues, the main obstacles for peace. That brought me to the second phase. Already in 93, when I agreed with Abu Mazen, with President
Abbas,
to try and draft a permanent agreement, which we did in 95. I mean, after 2 years, we had a permanent a draft for a permanent agreement. And we suggested that it would replace the efforts for another interim agreement of 5 years. We failed with it. And but it was the basis for the parameters of Clinton, according to what he told me, in 2000. So still we did not have, people used to tell us, okay, but if you get to the details, you will find the devil. So Yasser Abedrabo, who was then the Minister of Culture on the Palestinian side and later on the Secretary General of the PLO, and myself, agreed to try and get to the details. And this was the Geneva Initiative, which worked on it with quite big delegations on both sides. It had nothing to do with the government, unlike Oslo. It was a private initiative, but the members who were involved with it was mainly former negotiators. So they knew the job, they knew the difficulties, and eventually they were ready to sign a draft. Now, then we added 500 pages of annexes to the draft. There is no competition to it, agreed upon by the two sides. Now, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And then people are asking themselves, maybe it is insoluble.
Not only nothing happened, if I can, people are losing faith in the two-state
solution. Losing faith, losing their lives.
In a very high pace, they're losing faith in the two-state
solution. On the one hand, the two-state solution never died. In the last weeks, President Biden, Prime Minister Lapid, I mean, it is there, and people understand that they don't have solutions. When they're asked in their interviews, okay, Mr. X, so you said that the two-state solution failed. Now, what is your solution? Oh, he says, we don't have now enough time for, because of the interview is short, but I can assure you there are many solutions. But these many solutions never appeared. So my conclusion was that the issue is not necessarily the partner, because it is still the PLO. It is not necessarily the specific solutions, because now it's a kind of a general consensus that it is more or less the Clinton parameters and mutatis mutandis. And that the main issue is that on the Israeli side, which have to give up on what it achieved in 67. The main problem is the confrontation with the settlers. And one of the main reasons for me to think about the Confederation, not the only one, but one of the main consideration was to find a way to leave the settlers where they are once we have a new border, and to tell them, you are from now on, if you wish to stay a loyal residents of the Palestinian state, and you continue to be Israeli citizens and to vote for the Israeli parliament, for the Knesset. And on the Palestinian side, the same number of settlers who would like to remain would be allowed as Palestinian citizens to live in Israel as full and permanent residents. This is the cornerstone of our work. And I mean, for Hiba, I mean, it is, I don't think that this is her dream or my dream to have such a solution. But we understand together that, and we may be wrong, but we understand that if it is done and the confrontation between the Israeli leadership and the settlers doesn't have to happen, this will really make it much easier to have the two-state solution, and we don't have a better solution than the two-state solution. So we found our common denominator quite easily. And then there was another thing.
You just be brief, because I want to have Auni and then around the question.
So one sentence. We understood that if we are going for such a challenge of a confederation, which, as Hiba said, is more gradual than land for all, but it is, you know, speaking about the grand picture, it is the same idea. We have also to try and write a joint narrative. When we told it about it to some people, they said that we were crazy, that never ever Israelis and Palestinians would be able to write a joint narrative. The maximum is that each of them will tell his or her narrative, and it will be put together on the same page. And I'm very happy and proud, I must admit, that we succeeded to do that. Not without arguments and debates, but it never came to violence. We found the common denominator for a joint narrative. And I think that if you have the idea of a confederation, and it is a light confederation, because the regimes are very, very different, and you cannot have a really tight confederation if the regimes are so different. But if you want to have a confederation, if you want to have cooperation, if you respect the other side, I think that if you have also a joint narrative, it may change a lot.
Thank you. I will. Auni does not speak English, so Auni will speak in Arabic and I will translate him. Auni, who ki finta tfakker shu التمييز للدولتين وطن واحد شو الاساس اللي مميز دولتين وطن واحد. I ask Auni, what is really the characteristic that makes it different? Auni.
اهلا بالجميع وشكرا على هاي الفرصه, وبعتقد انها فرصه مفيده حتى نفهم بعض اكثر حتى الاخرين يفهموا.
Thank you for this opportunity that we will understand also each other better.
لما بدينا نبحث في موضوع دولتين في وطن واحد واجهنا مجموعه من الاسئله.
When we started Two States One Homeland, we faced a few questions.
السؤال الاول, هل نحن نبحث عن الحل الافضل ولا الحل الافضل الممكن؟ وفي فرق بين المسألتين.
The first question was are we seeking for the best solution or for the best possible solution? There is a difference between them.
دولتين في وطن واحد مش هي الحل الافضل للاسرائيليين.
Two states one homeland is not the best solution for the Israelis.
ممكن يكون الحل الافضل اذا بتشيل منها موضوع اللاجئين تصبح حل مقبول للاسرائيليين او حل افضل للاسرائيليين.
If you remove the issue of the refugees from two states one homeland, we say that the two refugees will be could go into Israel as Palestinian citizens and Israeli resident. If you remove the issue of refugees, it could be accepted by the Israelis.
لكن في هذه الحالة بتبطل هي مبادرة لحل الصراع. هي بتصير مبادرة لحل المشكلة الإسرائيلية.
But then it will not be a solution for the conflict. It will be a solution to solve the Israeli problem.
بالمقابل هي مش الحل الأفضل للفلسطيني.
At the same time, it's not the best solution for the Palestinian.
إذا بنشيل منها موضوع الاستيطان ما يبقى من السلطنات, بالتأكيد هي بتصبح أفضل للفلسطيني.
If we remove the settlement issue, we say that settlers, Israelis in general, can live in Palestine, meaning that settlers can stay. It will not be accepted by the Palestinians. It will be accepted by the Palestinians if we remove the settlement.
لكن بصير حل المشكلة الفلسطينية, حل الجانب الفلسطيني, مش حل الصراع الفلسطيني.
But it will not be. It will be a solution for the Palestinian, not a solution for the conflict.
وبالتالي مشان تصير مبادرة للحل, مشان تصير تعبر عما هو ممكن فلسطينيا وممكن إسرائيليا, أجت المبادرة بهذا الشكل.
And because we want the solution that will be possible Palestinian wise and possible Israeli wise, this is why we reach this initiative.
وبالتالي أصبحت حل الصراع وليس حل لمشاكل طرف على حساب طرف الآخر.
And therefore, in this way, it became a solution for the conflict and not for the problem, the Israeli problem or the Palestinian problem.
المبادرة هي تملك توازن دقيق لدرجة أنك لا تستطيع أن تأخذ أي بند أو أي أساس من أساسياتها لوحدها.
The initiative is built on a very thin equilibrium. You cannot remove anything out of it.
وبالتالي من هون مهم قراءة المبادرة بشكل شامل بشكل متكامل حتى نستطيع أن نفهم هذا التوازن.
Therefore, we have to look at it as a whole in order that we can implement it.
الموضوع الثاني وهذا ربما يواجه الطرف الفلسطيني أكثر من الطرف الإسرائيلي إنه المشكلة مش في التفاصيل ولا المشكلة في النقاط المختلفة. المشكلة إنه أن يصل الإسرائيليين إلى قناعة أن السلام هو الأفضل لهم من استمرار الاحتلال.
The second issue, and this relates more to the Palestinian, they ask themselves, are the Israelis, do the Israelis think that the solving the conflict is better than continuing it?
لأنه كثير من الإسرائيليين بيسألوا طب الفلسطينيين شو بدهم يقدموا؟ يعني أوكي إحنا بدنا ننسحب بدنا نوافق على دولة فلسطينية، طب الفلسطينيين شو في عندهم شيء يقدموه من أجل السلام؟ يعني ليش إحنا نقدم؟
بيسألوا الإسرائيليين بيسألوا الإسرائيليين
ليش إحنا نقدم كل هذا مقابل أن الفلسطينيين ما بيقدموش شيء؟
Israelis are asking, why should we do all this if you Palestinians don't put forward anything?
إجابة السؤال مش صعبة لكن تحتاج إلى عمق أكثر.
The answer is not difficult but it needs a little bit to go in deeper.
أولاً الفلسطينيين في هاي المبادرة يقدموا اعتراف صريح بالمشاركة في وطن وليس بالإقامة على أرض وليس بفرض أمر واقع إسرائيل. اعتراف صريح بحق المشاركة في وطن. في وطن في جنين زي ما هي في تل أبيب في نابلس زي ما هي في حيفا.
First of all, there is a Palestinian recognition of sharing this homeland. Not only that it exists, not only that it was forced, that we shared the homeland in Jenin and in Haifa and other places he mentioned. I now forgot that. Oh, both sides of the Green Line.
الموضوع الثاني أن الفلسطينيين في هذا الحل يقدموا حل للمستقبل الإسرائيلي. إسرائيل تقدم حل للحاضر الفلسطيني لكن الفلسطينيين يقدموا حل للمستقبل الإسرائيلي ويجيبوا على سؤال اليقين أو الخوف الوجود.
Another thing is that the Palestinians in this initiative, the Palestinians offer a future for the Israelis while the Israelis offer a solution for the present of the Palestinian. I don't know if I got the translation clear enough. They're saying that Palestinians offer a future for Israelis while Israelis offer a better present for the Palestinian.
الجانب الثالث في ظل شرق أوسط متغير و راديكالي أحياناً في تغيراته، الفلسطينيين بوجدوا حلول لقضايا كثيرة تشكل معضلات.
شو أنا مش فاهم الكلمات
اللي في ظل الشرق الأوسط المتغير، الفلسطينيين يقدموا حلول كثيرة للمشكلات التي تواجه الإسرائيليين.
In the light of the changes in the Middle East, the Palestinian offer a solution that will help Israelis.
نحن نستطيع أن نجيب على السؤال الإيراني ونستطيع أن نجيب على سؤال حزب الله عندما يتحقق السلام مع الفلسطينيين. لم يعد سبب ومبرر ل الحديث الإيراني عن إزالة إسرائيل حليتها أو الحديث من حزب الله عن تحرير جزء من الجليل. إذا الفلسطينيين وقعوا هذا السلام باعتقادي إما بيفككوا هاي المعضلات أكثر من غيرهم أو أكثر من الإسرائيليين.
The Palestinian could give a solution for Israel, for Iran or for Hezbollah because if Palestinian will sign a real peace with Israel, there will be no excuse for Iran or for Hezbollah to act against it.
كلمة قصيرة بالنهاية مبادرة دولتين في وطن واحد هي رؤية ليست لتغيير الواقع وإنما لإعادة ترتيب معطيات الواقع من جديد بما يكفي الشعب.
Shortly, the two states, one homeland, is not an initiative that looks for changing the reality, but changing the codes that rules that rule this reality.
وهناك فرق كبير بين تغيير الواقع وبين إعادة ترتيب معطيات الواقع بطريقة ممكنة وبطريقة تهتم الشعب.
There is a difference between changing the reality and changing the way the reality is being handled in a more just way. I just, before I will go to another session and maybe start really shortly taking your questions, I will just say, I think one of the differences really between two states on homeland and the Holy Land Confederation is that we are looking here on in two states on homeland we are looking into I would say sharing the homeland and accepting that no, I will say it in this way. I think me for as an Israeli, one of the main issues here is to recognize the issues of the refugees. We cannot ignore that. We cannot, it was it's the most difficult for Israelis, but it is without it, there will be no real solution. And what we offer is two states, yes. Two states according to the 67 borders. But there is a freedom of movement and an opportunity for Palestinian to implement the attachment to the whole of the land, whether it's in the West Bank or in Israel. If they choose to live in Israel, they will be Israeli, Palestinian citizens and Israeli residents. It's a gradual process, but it is possible. And then, and very important, yes, for Jews. Jews do believe, most of them, that feel deeply that the whole of the land is their homeland. Nablus and Hebron not less than Ramat HaSharon. So therefore we say let's share the land, and Israelis could live freely in Palestine as equal, between not as a super, not with without privileges, but with equality. Before going into more question, Yossi and then Hiba, I will do it. Where do you see the differences between two states, one homeland, and the confederation you propose? What are the main differences that you see? You are mute. Yossi, you're mute.
Sorry, there are differences. I don't attribute to them too much importance. For example, when you speak about the solution for the refugees, you don't open the option of allowing Palestinian refugees as Israeli citizens. While we do. We can talk about it. I believe that you can find here a common denominator, but this is one of the differences. The most I would say significant one is the graduality. We we would like perhaps to see the same vision in some years. I don't know how many. It doesn't have to be a generation. But we suggest that every 4 years, the two governments will meet together, at least every 4 years, in order to liberalize the regime of the border and not open the border immediately once we sign the agreement. What should happen immediately once we sign the agreement is a recognition of Israel of the Palestinian state. And then after two and a half years, there would be a confederation if the two sides agree. And it is all based on the Geneva Initiative. I mean, we did not reinvent the wheel, the border, the division of Jerusalem. All the things are based on the Geneva Initiative. Now, I think that the philosophy is that we cannot open up everything, even in Jerusalem. We suggest that we immediately will open up the old city, the walled city, while you are suggesting that it will be open totally, Jerusalem. We are perhaps here more careful, if you wish. But the bottom line is that we believe that it should be a gradual process, but the two parties, it is not just a banner that we want to open up. We want to open up, but we want to test it. And we are afraid that if we don't do something like that, it will be very difficult to convince at least the Israeli side that we can go for something like what you suggest. So this is, I believe, one of the most significant points.
Hiba, can you say shortly, before we go into question, I understand there are quite a lot of questions, what new option, according to you, the Confederation opens?
It opens up a host of issues, not just one. I think the most important is that this is an opportunity to end the conflict, provide sovereignty for a Palestinian state, deal with the refugee issue in a comprehensive manner. Territorial issues will be addressed gradually, as Yossi mentioned. And of course, a recognition. This is and paramount above all is end of conflict.
I will ask the same question for Auni. Auni, يعني الحل الكونفدرالي اي شيء جديد اي يعني اي طريق جديد بيفتح الحل الكونفدرالي بشكل كثير ممكن تقول لي
يعني انا بالنسبه لي الحل الكونفدرالي هو يقع في موقع ما بين حل فشل كما ذكر سيد سيبيلن وحل الدولتين وحل يشكل حلم خيالي طباوي اللي هو حل الدوله الواحده
I think that the two states, one home, the confederation idea is between a solution that failed, the two states, the classical two state solution, and the one state solution, which is an imaginary solution.
وثانيا هو جوهرية الحل تقوم على التدريج. أكيد نحن في دولتين في وطن واحد نؤمن بالتدريج. ونؤمن بالخطوات لكن في ضوء هدف واضح وين بدنا نصل مش تدريج على طريقة أوسلو بمستقبل غامض مش مفهوم احنا نؤمن بالتدريج نؤمن بأخذ المحاذير الأمنية والسياسية والاجتماعية في الاعتبار لكن بوضوح في الهدف وين بدنا نصل وبشكل واضح وثابت وأكيد
We also, as Balin remarked, as Yossi Balin remarked, we are for a gradual process and steps, but we we want that the goal will be very clear, and not that we will, as in the Oslo Agreement process, every some years we will have to renegotiate.
وثالثاً نحن نقدم رؤية ولم نقدم اتفاق سلام. بالتأكيد هذه الرؤية تحتاج إلى تفاصيل، تحتاج إلى مفصلين، تحتاج إلى مفاوضين، وتحتاج إلى تفاصيل التفاصيل وهي معقدة، وهي تحتاج إلى حوار طويل ومعمق ومختصين. نحن قدمنا رؤية سياسية مش مشروع اتفاق. مشروع الاتفاق يحتاج إلى ما أكثر من هذا.
And third thing is we present a vision. We don't present a framework for a solution. We don't a detailed solution. We present a vision, and we think this is more important.
المسألة الرابعة شخصية. أنا بسأل سؤال شخصي. أنا كفلسطيني كلاجئ قريتي بتبعد عن مكان سكني 4 كيلومتر أو 5 كيلومتر في الحد الأقصى. أنا ممكن أسأل نفسي سؤال، طب ليش أنا بدي أوافق على حل بدي يبقيني لاجئ؟ يعني شو ليش أنا مضطر أوافق على حل يبقيني كفلسطيني لاجئ؟ وهذا السؤال لما أنا بسأله فيه 7 مليون فلسطيني بسأله.
And there's a last thing is a personal thing. I live 4 kilometers from the village where I am a refugee from. And the question is, why should I accept something that will leave me as a refugee? And it's not only for me, there are 7 million Palestinians like this. The questions can... okay, so that question I will try to so many questions. Where should Palestinian be? Satisfied? Can Canadians? Can a recording? A question is whether when we speak about open borders, do we mean that the rights of the refugees and the offsprings will be respected inside Israel? This is one question. We are being asked also, what is the difference between confederation and federation? Is there a big difference between them? About the Palestinian wants one state in the Israel peace camp wants two states. So how can we merge two these two wheels? And let's start with these questions. Yossi, we're talking about how do you see the difference between federation and confederation, and the fact that most Israelis want two states, that Israelis prefer two states, many Palestinians prefer one state. How do you see it?
Well, a federation is a one state, and a confederation is several states. The EU is a kind of a confederation. The United States is a federation. So you see the differences. It is very clear. About I'm not sure whether the Palestinians want one state. You have here Hiba, who can answer you this question. And I see the public opinion polls. There are many of them who would like to see a one state solution, and others who want to have a Palestinian state side by side with Israel. The plurality supports the two state solution on both sides. Once there was a majority for that, and regretfully it is now plurality, but it is still that most of the people on both sides prefer a two state solution. Now, just about the refugees, according to our solution, the refugees will have the five options of the Clinton parameters, remaining where they are, moving, of course, to Palestinian state, moving to another state outside the region, and more. And speaking about those who would be allowed to come to Israel and to become citizens of Israel, we said that it should be after a consideration of the average number of Palestinian refugees who will be absorbed by third countries.
Just another question that before I move a question also to Avni and Hiba. One is asking, Israel is now being held hostage by messianic religious Zionists. How you convince them to change the current status quo? You as with your experience as Israeli politician, Israeli politics.
I'm very much worried about these people, but they're a small minority. I don't think that Israel is taken as hostages. It is true about the Likud. The Likud party is totally dependent on this group, which according to the public opinion polls is going to have about 10% of the Knesset. If this is the case, it's bad news. But it doesn't mean that Israel is taken by them. So for the center left, the accusation of the right is that we are taken hostage by the Arab lists in the Knesset. We will be dependent on them. I mean, there is no majority for the center left without the Arab lists. They will have a consequential role after the elections, if we win.
So you're not pessimist in convincing the. Can I ask add questions? How do you see? I don't know. It was asked. How do you see Yair Lapid's declaration about two states?
You ask whom?
I'm asking you.
I was happy to hear this from my prime minister after several years in which it was impossible to refer to the two state solution since Bibi Netanyahu changed his mind. So of course it is not detailed and it is not a plan, but he is re-legitimizing the two-state solution. And once it is done before the elections, I think that it is of importance. The people will know that if they are going to vote for him, they are going to vote for the two-state solution idea.
For Avni and Hiba, first there is a question about the division in the Palestinian camp between Hamas and Fatah. How is it possible, Avni and Abidi Asalak Wahiba and Fasil between Hamas and Fatah, who kif mumkin itifaq bihadal jaw? There's always a question. There's also a question about really the issue of refugees. How do you see them? Is such a solution, especially only had a Shanilak in the Auda Telegin by Tarika Nahna Naktarech. هي مقبولة للاجئين الفلسطينيين. Is the solution of the refugees as we propose, you think, is accepted by the Palestinian refugees? Hiba, first for you about Hamas and Fatah and these differences in the Palestinian camp.
Of course, this is a very serious issue, very difficult position we're in. I think it stems from the longevity of the conflict, longevity of the occupation. And of course, there are ideological differences. The PLO is in charge of negotiations. This has been agreed to and has been the issue for a long time. We do have serious issues to deal with. I don't propose this, solution to this division is an easy one, but I think if there's a horizon for peace, if there's a horizon to end the conflict and to have a peace agreement, there will be more reconciliation. The feasibility of reconciliation between Fatah and Hamas will get closer.
Auni,
بس أنا في عندي سؤال. طب ما هو كان يا سارفة ما كانش في انقسام بين الفلسطينيين. إذا كان الانقسام هو العقبة ليش ما كانش السلام قبل الانقسام يعني؟
Aouni is answering to this. When Arafat was alive, there was not this division between Fatah and Hamas, and still we didn't have an agreement.
السؤال الثاني يعني إذا انتهى الانقسام. يصبح في إمكانية للحل مع الفلسطينيين على أساس الحقوق الوطنية الفلسطينية كما جاءت بتوم ستيت هوم لان. طب إحنا ننهي الانقسام يعني إذا انتهى الانقسام أوريدي في موافقة إسرائيلية على حل سياسي على أساس الكونفدريشن على أساس تو ستيت هوم لان. إحنا ننهي الانقسام خلال 24 ساعة بس تفضل المستوى السياسي الإسرائيلي يعلن هذا.
If there's an Israeli agreement on two states or two states one homeland, we will finish this rift between Hamas and Fatah in 24 hours. First of all, depends on Israeli.
كل مرة الإسرائيليين في عندهم سبب للهروب من السلام. قبل 20 سنة كان ياسر عرفات المشكلة. إذا بروح ياسر عرفات في إمكانية للسلام. أبو مازد معتدل وجنتلمان وممتاز يعني ودي مش ملطخة بالدم نعمل سلام. طب راح يا سارفات ولا 20 سنة راي يا سارفات وين يعني شو المشكلة الحقيقية؟ أن الإسرائيليين النخب السياسية الإسرائيلية مش واصلة قناعة أن هناك ضرورة لسلام مع الفلسطينيين.
Only saying 20 years ago the problem was Yasser Arafat, and people were saying if Yasser Arafat will be out, we will have Abu Mazen, he's so moderate, and we will have peace, and we don't have peace. I want to try and have a little more question. It's a little difficult, but I try. About Gaza and Jordan, why Gaza and Jordan will not be part of the Confederation? I want just to clarify before you answer about Jordan, maybe Yossi and Hiba, that according to both plans, both the Holy Land Confederation and our plan, Gaza is part of the Confederation. It's not, it is one part of the Confederation. It cannot be separated. But Jordan is of course, another issue. Yossi, you want to comment on why Jordan not being part of such a Confederation? You're mute. Yossi?
We are writing in our booklet that it is open for others, and we are mentioning Jordan as an option. I must say that I have talked to people whom I appreciate in Jordan and I worked with in the past, and they preferred not to be mentioned in this stage. But it doesn't mean that they will not be part of it. They can be a part of it, and they can help us in different areas, speaking about security, and also speaking about the Temple Mount, the Haram Sharif.
There is a question here for Yossi and Hiba or Hiba. Your plan starts with an agreement on two states with borders, and it depends on that agreement. Negotiation between government have not achieved such an agreement. Would your vision of future help make the agreement more likely? Hiba, if you want to comment on that.
That's our vision, indeed. Our vision proposes that the solution is feasible. We negotiate with two factors. Number one, timeline is predefined. Number two, the end game is defined. In other words, two sovereign states will enter into the confederation. They would have had 1 year to negotiate or so. I mean, of course, that's flexible. To negotiate a permanent agreement. Then the next phase is recognition, then implementation. That's why we think it would be more appealing.
There is a question that I can answer, I try to answer. What do you think about assembling a broad coalition of organization, prominent individual, Peace Now, J Street, Amnesty International, Congress members in support of the two-state confederation that will collectively call upon Israeli government to offer such a solution as a peace deal? I think this is a very important role. I think this is why we, although there are differences and maybe we didn't have the time to dwell into them, and maybe it's not so important as Yossi is saying, I think this is why we act together. I think it is extremely important to collect all these people, because I think there is a very large, those who are interested in the peace process, in the conflict, I would say peace conflict, a peace process is does not exist. Those who are interested in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I think many of them lost hope. Many of them lost hope because they don't see how the classical two states could materialize. And therefore, and I think we both, yes, differently, but we both try to offer a way out of this deadlock, saying yes, two states, but with sharing. Yes, the situation on the ground is very mixed, but we can have equal rights for all. Yes, we don't need, as Auni is saying, we don't need to change the reality. We have to change the rules governing this reality. We need you as to those who listen to us as a coalition, as a wide coalition, outside, of course, inside Israel-Palestine. And we are doing this job. We are coming from Israel-Palestine. We are not coming from the outside. We are coming from Israeli-Palestine, saying this is what we want. This is the future that Auni and me and Yossi and Hiba want. This is the future for us, a shared future for us, in two states sharing this homeland. Help us push the Israeli government. The Israeli government is the most responsible. It has the most of the power. It has the power. Let's push the Israeli government towards this idea and have a real feeling that things are moving and that there are new ideas. We need hope. We need hope, and hope is the one thing I think that we lost We lost a lot of lives in these 25 years since the beginning of the Second Intifada, but we lost hope also, and we have to reignite this hope. I don't know. I will ask those above me, do we have more time still? Because I think we are nearing the end. We have so many questions still. If we have one, there is a question for me. I will answer just before. Why what I propose is not one state? It is not one state because, first of all, we are talking about two states. It is not one state because we do think that right of self-determination is fundamental both for Jews and for Palestinians, and therefore, and also international law recognized the right of Palestine. The PLO is member in so many international organizations. This is according to international law. International law and the will of the two people. So we are here in two states, Palestine, Israel, Palestine with Palestinian flag, Palestinian parliament, full member of the UN, all the attributes of an independent state, and Israel, of course, with all its attributes as an independent state. So before we end, we have two more minutes, I'm told. So I will ask really in 30 seconds, Hiba, Yossi, and Auni. Auni, Talatin, Nus Dakika, Lil Kul, Yaini Lil Talchis. Hiba, let's start from you, 30 seconds, and then Yossi, and then Auni, and then we'll wrap it out.
Thank you, everyone. This has been very good. I think I continue to be terribly encouraged that one state cannot work, cannot deliver peace, cannot deliver end of conflict, cannot deliver end of occupation. I want coexistence, mutual respect, mutual dignity, right to self-determination, end of occupation. And I think the two proposals we're proposing before you this evening can start a dialogue and a conversation, a very serious one, on ending this conflict. Thank you.
Yossi?
Well, I believe that we can solve the solution, the conflict. I think that we are closer to it than ever, because never before we knew almost all the answers. It is a new situation. And I believe that if there is a partner in Israel, and I think that there is a partner on the Palestinian side, and even if he quits or decides to stop being the president, I don't think that he's the last Palestinian leader who would like to make peace with Israel. If I'm looking at the second line, the successors, the potential successors, there are people who are committed, like him, to peace. So I believe that we are suggesting something which will make it easier for those who want to make peace and are ready to compromise for peace and to risk their lives for peace. We are suggesting them an easier way to get there.
عوني تلخيص طبعاً
يعني أنا أعتقد إنه نهاية هذا الصراع بالتأكيد هو سلام. الفرق في الموضوع الآن أو بعد ضحايا أكثر.
The end of conflict will be peace. There's no doubt about it. The question is, will it be now or after many victims?
ثانياً السلام أهم كثير من البحث عن أسباب لإلقاء اللوم على الآخرين، أن الفلسطينيين سبب، الإسرائيليين سبب، مش هذا المهم. المهم أن نصل إلى سلام حقيقي. قد يكون الفلسطينيين، قد يكون الإسرائيليين، قد يكون الطرفين، قد يكون طرف آخر. مش مهم السبب. في لا تعطل سلاح الكلام. المهم أن نجد طريق للمستقبل.
The most important is not to see who, what are the reason, who is the blame, Palestinian, Israel. This is not important. The important thing is the way to move to for the future.
وثالثا أنا باعتقادي البحث عن السلام يحتاج إلى عقل منتلتي عقلية سلام وليس البحث عن السلام بعقلية الحرب. كثير من الآخرين يبحثون عن السلام بعقلية الحرب وكأنهم يحضروا لحرب. إحنا بنحضر للسلام مش لحرب.
And last thing, many we are looking for peace with the mind of peace. Many that were looking for peace looked it with the mind of war. And we have to do it with the mind of peace.
قراءة التاريخ مهمة، لكن النظر إلى المستقبل أهم من العيش في التاريخ. شكرا.
To look into the past is important, but to look into the future is more important. Thank you very much. I just want to say before I give it back to Ron that you can look at us, find us to stay a Land for All and to the join us page. I don't know, Yossi, do you have anything that you can people can go into? Yossi, we don't hear you.
No, this I'm unmuted myself. Yes. You hear myself? You hear
yes, me? Yes. Now
we have the book. We have the link to the book, mm-hmm. which I believe that the participants got.
Yes.
So yes, I recommend very much to read it, especially on flights.
So go into read Yossi's and Hebrew's books and go to a Land for All website and join us page. And thank you for so much for being with us so long. And thank you, Auni and Hiba and Yossi, for this very interesting discussion.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, Maron. Thank you, Hiba. Thank you, Yossi and Auni. I was going to say that half a century ago, when the two-state solution first came up, it was considered a radical and strange idea. So what we've done today is just really a taste. We can't get to everything. And I know there were a lot of people who had questions and not all the questions were answered. Please dig deeper. Please help spread this idea further. Look into both visions and let's keep talking about this and spreading the word. Thanks to the audience for joining this latest installment of Conversations with Israel and Palestine. Thanks to my colleague, Dinesh, who was making this happen behind the scenes. For those who missed the opening, I'll just two program notes very briefly. Tuesday, October 11, Zahava Galon, Chair of Merits, will be on. She'll be taking a break from her busy election campaign to address the international audience. And starting October 23, over 7 Sundays through December 18, Partners for Progressive Israel will be holding its annual Israel-Palestine Symposium, which is online again this year. For details, keep an eye on social media, but also at progressiveisrael.org. While you're at the website, if you're there, feel free to make a donation. Today's program has been free, but generous contributions would enable the organization to deliver these events at no cost. That's all for today. I want to thank again our wonderful, wonderful panel for all their time and energy. Thanks to the audience. Stay informed. Stay safe and a meaningful Yom Kippur for all who mark the day, however you wish to mark it. Thanks and see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.